We're doing an expository talk on the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. We're in, we have dozens of small groups around the Twin Cities and at our campuses, Springlake Park and Andover, here in Maple Grove, on this sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached, which is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. How many of you would love to have the greatest sermon ever preached memorized in your heart? Three of you. How many of you would like to have it memorized in your heart? Yeah. Memorize the word of God in your heart. Hide thy word in your heart. Do not make your house a movie theater. Make it a church. Make your home a house of God. If you make it a movie theater, your children will have movies memorized and they will have not one chapter of the Bible memorized. And I'm not condoning anybody. I'm not judging people. I'm not saying not to watch movies, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know in your heart if your children have every movie and Disney song memorized and if they have a chapter of the Bible memorized. And I'm just saying we need to raise the value we place on the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in the heart of your child. Hide it in your heart that you may not sin against the Lord. And so Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we started it last week. We're calling it the Summer on the Mount. And so Matthew 5, these are the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes you should be. All right? And so verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many of you want to be poor in spirit? Come on, raise your hand, poor in spirit. Poor in spirits are not know-it-alls. Poor in spirits, people who are poor in spirit are more aware of their own flaws than they are the flaws of others. You know, we can become very aware of the flaws of others. How about your spouse? You're aware of the what's wrong with your spouse? Don't say amen. Wink at me. Act like something's in your eye. And we can become very aware of what's wrong with people in our life and not aware of what's wrong with us. This is what it means to be poor in spirit. You know, one of the things that we pray here at the church is the tabernacle prayer. And if you don't have it, it's on our app. We've printed ones in the lobby you can take. But one of the things you pray in there is the laver, and the laver was brass. They didn't have mirrors in the Bible, and so you would look in brass to see yourself. It's symbolic of the Word of God. Then when you read the Word of God, it's not for me to show you what's wrong with you. It's for me to show myself what's wrong with me. That the Word of God is there for us to look at the parts of our life that we need to wash. The Bible says we are cleansed by the washing the reading of the Word of God. How many of you know when you read the Word of God, it washes your heart, washes your soul? This is why you've got to get it in your heart. And so it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many of you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Wow, what a beautiful thing. Because the kingdom of heaven was and is to come. The kingdom of heaven will impact your past, your present, and your future. This is why we need this. But it only comes to those who are poor in spirit. When God uses the poor in spirit, they're shocked that God used them. They're like, really? He would use me? You know, when you're young, you're just so ready for everything God has for you. You're like, I'm ready for everything. I know how to be married. I know how to raise kids. I was a kid once. That's like saying you had surgery, you know how to be a doctor. How many of you have gotten a little older like me and you're like less confident in things now? You're like, I'm going to need Jesus to help me with this. And you become poor in spirit. Life has a way of making you like that. Lord, I don't want to talk about other people's mistakes. At least the Lord put mine on the screen. Come on, amen about it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many of you want to see Jesus in a dream or a vision? Yeah, you got to be pure of heart. I talk about my daughter Victoria so much because she's just so pure of heart. She just is. And I told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, make me like her. Make me like her. You understand why Jesus said, Jesus never told kids to be like adults. He told adults to be like children. have faith like a child, to have the purity of heart. The purity of heart, just so pure of heart. That's why she's seen the Lord twice. I said, God, make me pure of heart. I want to see you. How many of you want to see Jesus? Yeah, then you got to get rid of all that stuff that's in your heart. And the closer you get to him in your prayer life, you got to spend time with God in prayer every morning. I have an old car. It's like 20-something, 23 years old, something like that. And it's a little car. I barely fit in it. I look like Mr. Incredible in the thing. So I hardly ever drive it, but it's this old little car. And Alexander showed me the other day. He said, Dad, you got rust on the rotors there. I said, it's because I don't drive it. And I said, you know what that's like? I said, that's what happens to your heart when you don't spend time with Jesus. It just gets rusty. It gets cold. And I don't want anybody to feel judged. I'm not judging anybody. But how many of you know when you don't spend time with the Lord, how your heart just feels distant? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, no one has to explain it to you. Like, you know, your heart just feels cold. It's because I'm not with him. The oil's not flowing. I'm not in his word, and tears aren't running down my face. I don't sense that peace. My stress is up. My anxiety is up. My worry is up. My fear is up. I'm tossing and turning all night. I'm anxious. I'm snapping at people because we don't pray. You know? There's an old song, carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Anybody know that old song? You know, we always worry and we fret and all that. Why? Because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know why we have a hard time forgiving people? Because we think we're better disciplinaries than the Lord. And God's not doing it the way we think it ought to be done, so we're going to get involved. Let me tell you something. How many parents in this room right now, if somebody grabbed one of your children and started whooping them, you would get involved? Come on, can I get an amen about it? You know why you get involved? Because that's not their child. You ain't got no business. You got no business whooping somebody else's child. You got no business putting your hands or your mouth on somebody else's child. That person that you don't like is not your child. They belong to Jesus. And let me tell you something. You're not a better parent than Jesus. Amen. You don't love them more than Jesus does. And you don't discipline better than Jesus. God is a wonderful discipline. For those the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines. So you know what you ought to do? Lord, that's your child. I trust you. Help me raise my own. Help me with my own heart. Help me become more aware of what's wrong with me. Can you imagine how beautiful the church would be if everybody who loved Jesus actually lived that? Can you imagine how much humility would be in the room if everybody in the room was more aware of their own sin than they were the sins of others? Wow. Jesus got on to Christians because he said, you talk about the speck in somebody else's eye and you got a plank in your own. He said, you're no worse than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. God rebuke you for it. This is what we need to be, as pure of heart. Jesus also says in the sermon, for the sake of time, I won't read it all, but he says in the sermon, he says, if you have a problem with your brother or sister, leave your gift at the altar. Reconcile with your brother or sister, then come back and God will receive you. Because God doesn't want to receive your worship when he knows your heart is angry towards somebody or frustrated towards somebody. How many of you know God knows your heart? All while you're in this room, God can see everybody's heart. Everybody's heart. And when you get close to Jesus, he deals with your motives. Every motive. And he begins to realize, is it a virtue or do we have a vice that we need to surrender? Grandmama said it this way, if you can't say something nice, y'all have the same grandmama I had. Grandmama got some wisdom now. Come on, somebody say amen about it. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Billy Graham says, gossip let me quote him right. Billy Graham says, gossip is one of the worst sins in the Bible. When you think of all the sins in the Bible, this is what Billy Graham said is one of the worst. He says, it's terrible. It's terrible in the sight of God. And God says the person who does it is a fool. A fool. Proverbs 18:10-18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads gossip is a fool. A fool. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a gossip are like delicious morsels that go down into the inner parts of the body. They're like cake pops at Starbucks. They're like the Little Debbie Christmas trees. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're like, what? Who's Little Debbie? You know who Little Debbie is. Just confused look on your face. What? This is what gossip is like. This is the word of God. It says it's like a delicious morsel that you eat and it goes down into your innermost parts when you listen to gossip. There's something about hearing about someone else's mistakes that makes you feel better about your own self-esteem. That's why the news is so popular. The news doesn't tell you what's good. It tells you what's wrong. That's what they should call it. Welcome to What's Wrong, 6 o'clock. Here's what's wrong. All social media, mostly, is what's wrong. If you want to get traction, you got to share gossip. You got to talk bad about a person in order to get clicks. This is the world we live in. It's gossip, and it's wrong in the sight of God. And you know what's really wrong about gossip is that it's gotten so prevalent in our culture as a city or a nation, and even within the church, that people don't even realize when they do it. And what the Lord tells us not to do, now many people defend. And are because our conscience has been seared as of a hot iron. You know when you do something that the Lord doesn't want you to do, that sin, and you keep doing it, you move away from feeling bad about it and you begin to defend the sin. This is what happens. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He will not always convict you. Conviction is permission to repent. And where there is no conviction, you cannot repent. The Bible said that Esau sought repentance with many tears and couldn't find it. That you cannot change on your own. That when you feel the conviction, how many know what conviction feels like? The conviction. I'm not talking about condemnation, I'm talking about conviction. How many of you need conviction? I need conviction, amen? It keeps you right. And without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, there is no repentance. We need that. Everybody say, Lord, convict my heart. Yeah, convict my heart. Conviction is just a father telling a son, come this way, come this way, come this way. We need that. We don't need to tear somebody down to feel good about ourselves. If we do, we need healing in our heart. Praise the Lord. Talking about people behind their back. Talking about people who we have relationship with. Talking bad about people. Well, I worked with her. Oh, don't. If you hire her, oh gosh, it's going to be terrible. No, you don't want to. Oh, she's, oh, that person. They're just so much drama and blah, blah, blah. Oh, they're just intense. They're just so intense. Just like, you know, no, this is not godly. This is not good to talk bad about people. And a lot of times we do that is that we actually have pride in our heart. We need to feel important and gossip about people that we know. And you know what? All those statements, hey, did you hear? Let me tell you what I just heard. Hey, don't tell anybody, but I just want to come to you in confidence. I just want to look out for you. I just want to tell. This is all demonic. I've been in church my whole life. I cut my teeth on the back of a pew. I've been in church my entire life, and there's nothing new under the sun. I've been pastoring for 20 years. I've heard every kind of gossip you can think of in 20 years. Trust me. I can spot it a mile away. Okay? And it's not just in church. It's in work. Many people have it within their own family. It's destroyed relationships with siblings. Do you know that your sibling, statistically, is the longest relationship you'll ever have in your life? And many of you have nothing to do with your siblings. And you need to make that right before God. Some of your siblings aren't even saved and you're putting it on them. You need to take it. You need to take the responsibility to heal that. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I know you don't say amen because it hurts, but you need to do it because you don't know how long you have with them. And God gave them to you. And some of you are the only one in your family that's saved. The Bible says God setteth the solitary in a home to bring out those that are bound with chains. God will win one person and then use that one person to win their whole family for Jesus. God saved my dad, and my dad won my uncle. I mean, you know my uncle Kaz, who comes here, multimillionaire in business. God won him. My dad won him. My uncle was a black belt in karate. And he had gotten to the point in karate that he was getting ready. You go so deep into it, you start to get into the spiritual side. And he got hurt bad. And he came to my dad. And my dad, full of the Holy Ghost, prayed for him. And God healed him. And it wrecked my uncle. He was like, what happened? He got healed. Anyway, he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and gave his life to business and ministry. Somebody say amen about that. This is the work of the Lord. My grandmother, who was lost, died a licensed, ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because my dad was one for the Lord. You have to break generational curses. Some of you have generational curses of gossip. You have to break it. It ran in my family until it ran into me. And as for me and my house, we will now serve the Lord. Somebody say amen about that. Amen. But when people talk like that, the one thing that's in common is it's all demonic. It's all evil. The fruit of gossip breaks relationships. Proverbs 16:28 says a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. How many of you have lost friends to gossip? Raise your hand. Whether work, church, family, raise your hands up high. If you've lost, look at all the lost relationships because of the demonic spirit of gossip. There's an old saying from World War II, loose lips sink. Oh, y'all know that saying, loose lips sink ships. That's a World War II saying. And what they would say is there's certain information that if it gets out, it'll sink that ship. It'll sink. It's true. It's information. Where the ships are, where there's a, it can sink the ship we're on. Well, not just do loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink friendships. And loose lips sink relationships. They sink them. All the hands that just went up. You know, all of that was because of loose lips. Sunk friendships. Sunk relationships. You'd be shocked at the people who are blood who do not speak to each other because of the spirit of gossip. All of us can name dozens of people who do not even attend a church anymore because of gossip. This has to be destroyed in the house of God. You know why? Because God will not trust us with his presence. I don't care how wonderful the worship is and how great a sermon is or how great anything is. If we do not come into unity about the Lord and love each other as Christ loves the church. Somebody say amen about that. And when someone has a heart of gossip, even if it's true, you're not called by God to talk negatively about a person behind their back. Well, so-and-so, I saw them rob this. So-and-so, I saw them, they hit that person. Or so-and-so, oh, he had an affair. She had, even if they did have an affair, are we supposed to go around and tell everybody, hey, don't let her talk to that guy. You know, he cheated on his wife. Are we supposed to do that in God's house? Even if it's true? Are we supposed to walk around and tell every person who's had an affair, every person who's done this, every person who's done that? Who amongst us, one of my pastors, Pastor Ivan Tate, was on our board. He said, who amongst us would go into Satan's graveyard and pull out a dead body from 10, 20 years ago of someone's past and pull it out of the graveyard that Jesus buried? How many of you know Jesus has buried our past? And pull it out and lift it up and parade a dead body around the church of Jesus Christ? Who would do that except someone who's full of lies and someone who's operating under demonic activity? Who amongst you want anybody to reach into your past and pull out your past that Jesus Christ has buried through the blood of Jesus and paraded around the church? The Bible says, woe unto you who kill the prophets and think you do God's service. Woe unto you who talk about people who are anointed and think you do the work of the Lord. If Jesus Christ has buried it, then Jesus Christ has buried your past and your sin and your shame. Somebody say amen about it. And he nailed it to the cross. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen about that. Who amongst us as a church should talk about someone's past and bring it up and parade it around the church and say, hey, be careful. Hey, you don't know so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. God, help us. And do it in the name of the Lord? You will not find that in Scripture. That's someone who doesn't have the Word of God in their heart. That's someone who doesn't pray. Because the Lord would never do that. Proverbs 26 and 20 says, without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, quarrels die down. Lord, remove from our lives everyone with a spirit of gossip. Remove them from our lives. Remove them from our jobs. Remove them from our church. Remove them from every area of our life. Everybody pray that. Say, Jesus, remove from my life people with a spirit of gossip. And bring people into my life, people who have the spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God praise for it right now all over the house. Amen. Do not be shocked when you ask God to move people out of your life for that, and he does. Listen to me. Just know when you ask the Lord to remove people from your child's life who would take your child away from him, do not be shocked when they start losing friends. When you ask God to move people out of your life that God doesn't want, don't then turn around and complain to God because people have left your life. Rejoice. Thank you, Lord. It's called pruning. I was at Disney. I went to Epcot a few years ago, and every year they do this, what's the park with the big ball? The big Epcot. And so at Epcot, this is the older people park, you know, so that's where I go. It's my speed. And so I was in there, and they have all the flowers and everything, and they have all these shrubs, and they look like the Disney characters. And one of the guys was there, and he was trimming it and everything. I said, how do you get it to look like the Disney character? How do you take just this bush and make it? He goes, you have the vision of what you want it to see, and you remove everything that doesn't line up with the vision. So God has given us a vision of prayer and presence. And then God is pruning away everything that doesn't line up with that vision. Do it, Jesus. It's so funny because people say so-and-so left. I'm like, but did he leave? Who do we care more about? Who is it all for? It's for Jesus. Is it for people? Just in case you forget, we are no longer building services for people and inviting Jesus. We're building services for Jesus. We only need to be concerned if he leaves. We need him desperately. Somebody say amen. Proverbs 11, 12 through 13 says a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. It didn't say they were telling truths or untruths. It said they were telling secrets. They go around telling secrets, whether true or not. They go around telling secrets. This is what a gossip is. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Can you imagine going to a brother or sister and telling them what you're going through, and then they go around and tell everybody? How can we have that in God's house? We can't have that in God's house. Not according to Proverbs. We have to be able to go to the Lord with that. Somebody say amen about that. Somebody says, hey, I'm dealing with this in my marriage. My husband's this, my wife is that, my kids this. Blah, blah, blah. Praise God, I'm going to pray about that. I'm here. Let's pray. Grab me your hands. Let's touch the degree right now and believe God for prayer. Come on, somebody say amen. Do you know how much stuff I know about people over pastoring them for 20 years? Do you have any clue how much has been confided in me about people? Can you imagine if I turn around and started disclosing everything about people? We cannot do that. We have to take it to the Lord in prayer. This is what it means to be a minister, is you have to be able to take things to God. How can you minister to God? How can you minister to the Lord and to people if you turn around and tell everybody? All the people just came up here and believe in God for healing, they tell you what's wrong, and then I turn around and tell everybody? How can you do that? It has to be in confidence. Somebody say amen about that. Amen. Trustworthy and confident. Being a trustworthy person. Can I control my tongue? The Bible says the tongue is the most unruly part of the body. It's lethal. It's terrible. It's deadly. The reason some of you have no self-confidence is because things were spoken over you as a child that left you hurting and wounded and bleeding. You can murder people with your mouth. Murder someone's self-confidence. You can murder a marriage. You can murder all kinds of things. Murder someone's career. Murder. All kinds of things in people's lives because of your mouth. That's why you have to say, Lord, keep my tongue. You know why when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, God, the sign was speaking in tongues? He could have given you any sign. He could have made your hand shake like this. This is a sign. Why did he touch your tongue? Because God knew if he could get you by the mouth. I've been to Kentucky, and they have these huge animals there called Clydesdales. And they control that entire horse because they got it by the mouth. They put a bit in the horse's mouth and they move that huge animal because they got it by the mouth. God knew if he could get you by the mouth. Think of the most of the trouble you got into in your life. Isn't it because of... Some of y'all would be married, but... Some of y'all would have better jobs, but... Some of y'all would have more relationships, but... And I just got to say something, and I just got to mess myself up. Everybody throw their hands up and say, Lord, help me be a steward of my mouth. Say, Lord, I give you control of my tongue. Yeah, praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God a clap offering of praise for it. We need this. Titus 3, 10 through 11. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. I'm almost done. Titus 3, 10 through 11 warns about a person who's divisive in church. It says, warn a person who's divisive once. There's a three-strike policy of gossip in the, according to the word of God. Warn a person once, then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. There it is. Word of God, Titus 3, 10. Warn them once. Warn them again. If they don't, you got to go. I have the same policy with our staff. If you gossip, if you're on staff and you gossip, you get warned. We'll warn you again after that. You got to go. You got to go. According to the word of God. Because it's sin. How many times am I supposed to let God's, the ministers in God's house sin? It's so quiet. Praise God. I knew we shouldn't have come. Warn a person once. How many of you didn't even know this verse was in here? You're like, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. What? They got rid of that person for talking bad about people? That's not like Jesus. Well, I think you're wrong. Because it is in the Word of God. See how you can come up with your own theology when you don't know the Word of God? You know, they talk bad about somebody two or three times and they just fired them. I can't believe that. That's not like Jesus. Yeah, it is. You don't have the word of God in your heart. You've come up with your own theology. Have it in your own company. Have it in your company. Do not let people in your company destroy. You can destroy a multi-million dollar company with gossip. I'm not talking about God's house. I'm talking about a company. You can destroy a company with gossip, tearing down the boss. Sending emails to coworkers about the boss who bought the computers. Wow. Who started the company, and you've wrote a phone book about them on company email, and you don't think they have access to the company email? Some of you are like, I'm in trouble. You need to say, God, help, heal me. You know, because at the end of the day, there's something in you that's broken. And you need to go to Jesus, say, Jesus, heal this in me. Well, I don't think gossip's that bad. Gossip is what put Jesus Christ on the cross. Read it. If it wasn't the religious leaders and the religious people of the day gossiping, they put an innocent man on the cross. Even the government was like, we find no fault with this man. And they said, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Because of gossip. So what's the remedy for gossip? Here it is. Jesus said we are to talk to people and not about them. I'm going to say it again. Talk to people, not about people. Ephesians 4, 28 and 29. Do not let anything unwholesome. Put it on the screen. Ephesians 4, 28 through 29. Do not let anything. Does it say some things? Is there a loophole? Do not let. You know what anything means in the Greek? Anything. Do not let anything. Does it say, well, if it's true, say it. Or if it's false, you can say it. What does it say? Do not let anything unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building. We are builders. Everybody say, I'm a builder. We don't tear down our homes. That's why I say pray for America. Don't even gossip about America. Don't tear down your nation. Don't tear down your home. Don't tear down your church. Don't tear down your company. Build it. We are builders. Y'all see the building being torn down over here across the street? It took years to build. They can tear it down in a week. It's easy to tear something down. And people who tear things down are people who've never built anything. They never built anything. What have you built? Because when you build something, you realize what it takes to build it. Yes. And when you build something, you fight gossip. Yes. You ain't going to build a big company and not know what gossip looks like. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen. You're not going to raise a good family and not know how to handle gossip. You're not going to build a church and pastor for 20 years and not know how to handle gossip. Because you learn. It's the people who never built nothing. It's the people who never accomplish anything. It's the people who have small thinking and that need of needing to feel important by knowing what someone else did or didn't do does something in you for your flesh, which is pride. And it's not like Jesus. Do not let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building up of others. Building up of others. According to their needs, that they may benefit from those who listen. Just purpose in your heart. I'm not going to have negative talk come out of my heart. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just choose to not be a safe person to gossip to. You see, I wasn't always a pastor. I was a church member. And people would come to me and they'd say, hey, I want to tell you something. Hey, just want you to know, I'm just looking out for you. Hey, I just want you to pray about something. Hey, I just want to tell you, just be careful. Oh my gosh, I could tell you stories upon stories. I should write a book. 20 years of pastoring. I grew up in church. My parents were pastors. My grandparents were pastors. My great-grandparents were pastors. And people would come up with all this kind of stuff. And one of them came up to me and said, hey, I want to tell you something. I said, what? And they started telling me. I said, I'm sorry. I just need to apologize. I said, I'm sorry for giving you the impression that made you think it was okay to tear down my pastors to me. I just need to apologize. I don't know what impression I've given you, but I've clearly given you the wrong impression. I am not a safe person to gossip to. Anything you tell me about anybody other than that person, I'm going to go directly to them and tell them that you told me. Like, I have the biggest mouth in the whole church. Actually, they're right over there. Come, let's go now. Let's go right there. Hey, Billy, come on over here. She thinks you're ugly and no good. I'm picking on you. There's no Billy over there. I'm totally picking on her. But I would just tell people, I'm like, I am not a safe person. And word got out. Don't tell Jonathan. If they gossip to you, it's because they think you're safe. Let me explain what gossip is. Gossip is anytime you talk negatively about a person who is not a part of the problem or the solution. So if you come to me about Agnes, I'm going to say, well, did you talk to Agnes? Agnes has been with, how long have we been walking together? 20 some years. She's seen it all with me too. We've seen them come and go. You know, and so I say, well, did you go to Agnes? No, I didn't go to Agnes. Well, you got 24 hours to go to Agnes. You know, then I'm going to go to Agnes. And I'm going to tell her what you told me. And you know what that does? That kills sin.
Yes. Amen.
It stops it. Amen. It only has power when people think they have something to tell somebody that somebody doesn't know. That's where they think the power is. And it makes them feel like, oh, I'm important. I know something that you don't know. I got to tell you. Right. And that's rooted in pride and brokenness. Yes. And it's not like Jesus. Jesus does not go around and tell anybody your sin.
No.
Oh, my goodness. You know who does? Satan. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And when you go around accusing people of things, you are operating under the ministry of Satan, and you have become Satan's minister. You have become his prophet and his evangelist. And you now have operating under the fivefold ministry of demonic influence. And if the kingdom of God brings people into the house of God, what does the kingdom of darkness do? There you go. Matthew 18:15. Put it on the screen for me. These are the words of Jesus. If you won't believe the words of pastor, how many of you will believe the words of Jesus? Raise your hand if you believe the words of Jesus. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their faults just between the two of you. Do you see Jesus telling you to tell anybody here other than the person? Tell the two of you. If they will not listen, I'm sorry, if they listen, you have won them over. If they do not listen, then take two others along with you so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, then we bring it to the church and treat them as a pagan or tax collector. And how did Jesus treat pagans or tax collectors? He loved them. Some of you were like, yeah, tax collectors, get them, get them. No. Jesus loved, one of the disciples was a tax collector. Jesus loved tax collectors and the pagans. It's all about love. Somebody say amen. Proverbs 17:4. I'm almost done. Pay attention. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. This is what happens. You got to say, listen, I'm going to go tell that person you said that because I have to preserve the bond of peace. And you know what that does with gossip? Is it makes it unsafe in God's house. And some people come in and they want gossip and say, oh, listen, I'm sorry. Maybe at your previous church, we did that. We don't do that here. That's not our culture here. Who is the person you have issue with? Come, let's go to them now. What? I don't want to. Yeah, see, that's why we don't do that. So you're not going to bring me into that and make me a hostage to your stories. Okay, you're not going to make me a hostage. And I would just tell them, look, I'm not a safe person to gossip to. I was like, because if I get cancer, my pastor is going to be the one in the hospital praying for me. If something happens in my marriage, this is the person I go to for all of my spiritual health, and I'm not going to let your mouth destroy them. Who am I going to go to? You? You're talking about them. You're going to talk about me. Just so you know, if people talk bad about somebody to you, they will talk bad about you to someone else. I don't care what kind of confidence. I won't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody. You're telling me? You're telling me? And I ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't even know who you're talking about. Who are they? Let me find them on Facebook and show them to you. What? Oh, yeah, I think I've seen them in church. Are you out of your mind? Proverbs 20 and 19. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Do not associate with them. I don't want my name brought up in the conversation with a gossip. Don't say, pastor said. No. I'm not involved. I'm not going to be. I would tell them, look, you going to do that stuff? I'm going to tell, do not bring me into it. I will ring the bell because it kills the presence of Jesus. And I am here because I need him. I need healing. How can we rebuke cancer of people who are dying and then have this out of the same lips gossip? How can, the Bible says, how can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same mouth? How can we say, Jesus, I love you, and have the faith to rebuke disease, but then talk about a brother or sister out of the same mouth? What is in the well? Come on, this is the word of God. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good, necessary, edification that may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit from which you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Everybody say tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Romans 12:10-13. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another. Everybody say outdo. You know the only area in the Bible that we're supposed to actually have competition in is in honor? What? He did what for you? Oh, I'm gonna do something better than that. Can you imagine if we were all trying to outdo each other by honoring each other? Can you imagine if that was the culture of your family? That all the brothers and sisters and mom and everybody's trying to outdo each other by honoring each other? Wouldn't that be beautiful? How many of you want to be a part of that family? Come on, can I get an amen about that? Like, that's how the household of faith is supposed to be. That we're trying to outdo each other with honor. With honor. Ephesians 2:16-18. And in one body reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. What puts away hostility? The cross. Hey, the cross is the answer. It's always been the answer. I don't know if you watched the debate the other night, but I think you realize real soon, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer for the world. It is not a person. It is Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen about it. I'm not being political. I'm being spiritual. The answer is Jesus. It's Jesus. There's a few things God hates. Proverbs 6:16-25. There are six things God hates. Seven that he detests. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness. There it is, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict, a person who sows discord amongst the brethren. God hates. God says, I hate those who sow discord amongst the brethren. He doesn't say he hates what you did. He's like, I hate you for doing that. Do not do things that God hates. In the last days, 2 Timothy 3:1-3. Write it down, 2 Timothy 3:1-3. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, gossipers, without self-control. And here's the last verse, 2 Timothy 4:14. Because my dad taught me this one. I love my dad. He's my hero. He's a man of faith. And he taught me when people talk about you in business, ministry, or anything. He said, don't retaliate. Don't get in the fight with them. And this is what happened to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was wounded. He was hurt really bad by a, put the verse on three, by a name Alexander. Okay? Alexander hurt the Apostle Paul. And he said, Alexander, the metal worker, did me great harm. He said, but the Lord will repay him for what he has done. When people hurt you, don't get in the fight. Say, Lord, you repay them what they have done to me. I'm not going to put my mouth on them. I'm not going to slander them. I'm not going to repay evil with evil. Come on, somebody say amen about that. Because some people think, well, because somebody hurts you, you have the right now to put your mouth on them. It's like the Robin Hood syndrome that, well, I'm going to steal from the bank and give to the poor. It's like, well, me giving to the poor cancels out me stealing. No, 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 that's wrong. Okay, you don't put your mouth on somebody else. Two wrongs don't make a right. Can I get an amen about that? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, you repay them. And I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, anybody who talks, anybody who tries to destroy me, anybody who would try to hurt the work of the Lord, Lord, you repay them for what they have done. You make sure they reap what they have sown. And you keep your mouth off of them. You don't put your tongue on them. Come on, somebody say amen about that. I'm not going to put my mouth on them. I'm not going to talk about that person. I'm not going to tear that person down. I'm not going to sow it because I don't want to reap it. And I'm a tither. I believe in reaping what I sow. And I'm not going to sow that because I don't want to reap it in my own life. I don't want my children to grow up and talk about me. I don't want my wife to talk about me. I don't want that. I want to be a person that builds. Did you get some out of this today? Come on, give God a praise. Amen.